Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
High school basketball season winding down with the regular season, getting ready for tournament action. And joining us right now on the hotline to talk all about that, let's bring in the play-by-play voice here on WHBC Radio for football and basketball, Dan Belford. How are you, Bells?
Doing great, Kenny. How you doing? And JT, what's up, bud?
Hi there, sir.
Hey, we're good, man. We're getting ready for another postseason run, hopefully a deep run by some of the teams here in Stark County. Bells, we still haven't figured out who's going to win the Federal League as three teams have a shot at that. So let's start right there before we get into the tournament and give me your thoughts on what's left in the Federal League. And are we going to have tri-champions, co-champions, or a single champion when the regular season's all done in the Federal League?
Boy, you just don't know there. And I heard you guys talking yesterday. It has been the most unpredictable league in the Fed than I can remember in a long time. Usually have a front runner and somebody's got a chance to co with them or something. But the complexion's just changed week to week at times. You look at the Glen Oak upset of a Jackson. I don't know if it's really an upset because the Rick's kids are playing some really good ball. But they're both 8-3. And they have big games on Friday night. We've got Jackson McKinley. Jackson, well, with McKinley losing to Green last week, they're kind of out of it in the Fed now. But Jackson, if they win, and Glen Oak, if they win, and Green, if they win, now they all have the same number of wins in the Federal League. So we could have tries there. Now, McKinley pulls the upset. We're down to one of those two are going to win on Friday night, and we're going to have a single champion in the Federal League probably.
You know what? Absolutely crazy that it's come down to this, and we'll see how it plays out, Bells. But, JT, you got a question for him because I want to get
I do. And this may not have any bearing on the Federal League title, as you just mentioned, Dan, but the thing is this. If Kenny decides that coming into Friday's game that we're going to either interview DeBevic from Jackson or Vlahovic from McKinley, one of those guys loses if they talk to my partner. Who is it?
Oh,
he is a black cat of all black cats. He interviewed Tom Siegfried last week. The team was scoring 95 points a game over the last four games. One word out of Kenny's mouth, and they lost to Hoover.
They did. Yeah, they did. That was a heck of a game, too. That was a lot of fun. But, yeah, okay, no coaches interviews after the game.
Okay, so, let me announce.
Before the game.
Yeah.
Or halftime or anything else. So
no, we've got Tim DeBevic on the show tomorrow. By
oh,
the way.
He's
Tim
doomed.
DeBevic's coming on with us.
He's doomed.
There we go. You know, it's going to be a battle, too, because this will be over at McKinley's place. Pups lost a close one over there at Jackson. It was really a war. And there will be a little redemption factor, I think, for McKinley to finish the season strong. And as everybody wants to finish strong, coming into the tournament, you know, it's all that anxiety and anxiousness and excitement. The coaches have a drawer full of Rolaid somewhere, and it's one and done time. And that's what you're trying to prep yourself for is put the one and done behind you and move forward, take it game by game and week by week, and just see how deep you can go. It's going to be a fun, fun setup this year for the tournament.
All right, Bells, I'm looking at all the standings that Denny Kincaid sent us, and I'm looking at all the teams that had high seeds. Who is the best team in Stark County this year? Have you been able to determine that, or will we find out as the tournament unveils?
I think as the tournament unveils, because at some point I think we had a pulse on that, maybe midway through the season, and Louisville's been consistent, and Louisville stumbled a little bit, and that was a big stumble the other night. To take nothing away from Hoover, because Hoover deserved that win and made the Leopards play their game. Jackson started out slow. Glen Oak started out hot, and Jackson nailed them over at their place. And now Glen Oak's finishing strong to end the season, and Jackson's up their game again. And Green is, to me, has been the most impressive run thus far, because when everybody looked at him, they were devastated through graduation from last year's team. And Coach Kinsley is such a great coach of taking young kids, getting them to play up and coach him up. He's had injuries. He's had disciplinary issues where they lost Bundelo for about the first seven games of the season. And these kids have all rallied, and they're playing some of their best basketball at the best time of the year. If I have to put a finger on somebody, it might be Green is surprising people as they go, and they might be the team to take out early in the round so they can make a deep run on.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of these standings. St. Thomas Aquinas, 7-1 in league play, 13-6 overall. They're one of the highest seeded teams, in the tournament from Stark County. You mentioned Louisville, 14-4, after getting upset by Hoover the other night. Hoover was only 6-11 going into that game, right? Alliance at 14-5, having a strong year as well, right? The Aviators flying high as they're tied for first in the EBC. So, and then look at Malvern, 14-0 in the IVC North, 17-1 overall, Bells.
Yeah, that's somebody that no one talks about, but they kind of came under everybody's radar, and they just kept it rolling. Now people are taking notice. And here comes tournament time. If you draw them in the tournament, you're wondering just how soon you're going out of the tournament maybe. They're a solid, solid unit. They have a good bench. They go about 3-4 deep off the bench, and those kids play cohesively. And they can adapt and play all styles of ball, and they're outstanding. Great bunch of kids.
All right, this draw happens before the season ends. I don't like that, but that's the way they do it. They had it this past Sunday, and I'm looking at one of the Division I Region 2 matchups, okay? And I'm sitting there going to myself, all right, why would either team want to play each other again for a third time as 18th-ranked Lake is going to play at number 7, Glen Oak? Were you surprised that McBride and Hairston are going to be going at each other in the first round of this tournament?
Yeah, and this is everything I hate about the way we've got things seeded now in Division I. But, yeah, first round of the tournament, I hate that. We lose a team already. And it happens earlier and earlier, it seems, every year that the guys are bowing out. I'm with you, Kenny. I'd like to see this vote go a little later. There's no reason you can't do it when the seasons wrap up and then get a better, you know, just barometer on where these teams are. I mean, I look at Alliance, as you mentioned. They could use a little better look. I mean, they're playing well at 14-5, but their last eight games, they're 5-3. And they finished their season with Lake and Louisville. Now, you pick up a couple of wins there, maybe that improves your stature in your seeding in the tournament. So I'm a fan of it going deep after the season. When the season's done, let's do the quick draw. Let's get that done. I just don't like doing it 3 weeks out, three games out, if you will, for many, many teams.
Yeah, as we look at the D1 brackets, or at least the first round matchups, let's go there, Bells. 25 Euclid at number 13 McKinley, 29 Hudson at number 23 Maslin, 18 Lake at number 7 Glen Oak. You got the Boardman Warren Harding winner at number 6 Green. You've got Akron Ellett at number 9 Jackson. The Perry Walsh winner plays Hoover, who's the 24th seed, and Louisville, a 10 seed, gets the winner of Solon University Schools. So when you look at those D1 matchups right there, Bells, you mentioned you like Green based on where they're at, Northeast District 2, right? They would run in possibly, though, to Jackson somewhere in that bracket, whereas Glen Oak might run into a McKinley in their bracket, and Louisville could get a rematch with Hoover at some point. So there's some, as this bracket unfolds, there are some potential exciting matchups involving a couple of Stark County teams, isn't there?
Oh, no doubt. There's going to be matchups everywhere. If we just keep the train rolling the way it should roll and the way it's expected of the coaches and the kids and their seating. You mentioned Maslin. That came to mind. I think if they would win, their reward is to play Hoban the following game.
Oh, wow.
And Hoban is one of the best teams I've seen this year. We saw them at the MLK Classic, and they are solid. And a fun team to watch. And that'd be a challenge for Coach Hose and his kids. But Josh does a great job over there. If they can get by this first round and get a little giddy up going, they'll give Hoban all they can handle. It'll be fun to see them match up. But, yeah, we know we're going to have matchups with teams within the Fed once we get 2 to 3 weeks in or 2 to 3 games in. I hate to see it because we lose teams quickly. But the excitement level of it is going to be fascinating. It's going to be fun. It's worth the cost of a ticket, folks, to show up. If not, lock us in and we'll bring it to you.
Yeah, and if you're Maslin, boy, you'd hate to have your season in football and basketball both end with a loss
oh,
to Hoban.
Gosh. Yeah, there we go.
Just throwing it out there.
No.
Yeah, that's Division One. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that we'll be keeping an eye on in the Division One portion of the OHSAA boys brackets. Division Two, Region Five, number 23 Northwest at number 17 Bay Village. Canfield Hubbard winner takes on number 21 Marlington. Canton South, a 14 seed, will have a home game against number 22 Geneva. And then the winner of that game plays at number 3 Alliance. And then you've got Fairless against number 14 Woodridge, and Minerva number 15 against McConnellsville Morgan in the D2 side of things. So is Alliance the team that has the best shot of going the furthest, you think, in D2 with the teams we cover, Bells?
Yeah, I really think so. They're an excellent bunch of kids. They play hard. They're pretty relentless on defense. I've had a chance to see them once this year, just wandered over to watch them. And great on transition defense. They really extended out beyond the perimeter. And they're a good, solid offensive team in the back and in the front court, too. So that's the team. And their record is, it kind of speaks to that. They play a tough schedule, too. They play out of their conference and take on some tougher teams to kind of prep themselves. In many of those cases, they've lost those games, but I don't think it goes unnoticed that they played hard and they're going to carry that with them into the tournament. But amongst all those teams, yeah, to me, they're the front runner unless they stumble and just don't keep the focus.
All right, let's turn our attention to Division Three. Number 19, East Canton at number 12, Manchester. St. Thomas, a 7 seed, going to play host to Orrville. You've got number 1 Norwayne. Well, I think Norwayne's going to win their first round game. They're the number 1 seed, so they're going to host number 23 Tuslaw. Number 22 Cleveland Board of Early College at number 4 Canton Central Catholic. Help me out, Bells. Who the hell is Cleveland's Board of Early College playing the Crusaders?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't either.
I didn't know the school existed, and I guarantee if we were to contact them for statistics, we never hear back from them. Be one of those
probably
kind of
not.
Things.
Sounds
but,
like Cape.
Yeah, no kidding. And I, if I'm not mistaken, we may be doing that game, or we'll have St. Thomas early rounds thanks to Mr. Kincaid. So the homer comes out early. But, I think St. Thomas, to me, everyone you mentioned there, I just like their chances. They remind me a lot of a Central in terms of playing up, taking on right. people, more challenging than within their conference or what have you. But Aquinas is doing some very, very solid, very expected things to them based on the number of kids they have back. You talk about Central, they're a 500 team down the stretch here. But they played some tough kids. You've mentioned that in the past, Kenny. They played Glen Oak. They played Cardinal Mooney. They play Ursuline, Marlington, Alliance. They have Perry coming up, or they lost to Perry, I think. And it's just it benefits them in the early rounds against some of the smaller schools. And then if they get a couple under their belt, we've seen them make deep runs into the regionals and into the districts in the tournament. So let's see what happens with Coach's team this year.
Yeah, they're a 4 seed Central Catholic this year. We continue down a little further in Division Three. Number 1 Malvern against Richmond Edison, and number 5 Sandy Valley. I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard much about Sandy Valley this year, and yet they're a 5 seed. Bells, what can you tell us about the Cardinals as far as basketball goes?
Yeah, as far as basketball goes, they're an athletic bunch of kids. You've got a combination of b-ball kids and some football kids. They will take opportunities to run it out, but they are very good at bringing the pace to the way they want it dictated, much like we saw Hoover do against Louisville the other night. So they've done very well against all formats, and it's a reason they've had a nice push here down the stretch and a good seeding coming into the tournament. Sometimes kids just do this quietly because we get all the focus on the Fed and all the other conferences. And teams like Sandy Valley just go about their business and do some good things, and you hope they get rewarded with a little run here during the tournament.
All right, Dan Belford, is there a player that has stood out that is the front runner, in your opinion, to be Stark County Player of the Year, or is this still a toss-up?
I think it's still toss-up because we're just seeing so many kids. You know, I'll give you an example. McKinley, early on in the season, it was Jahiel Graham.
Right.
And Jahiel, as the season went, became more of a distributor, knowing that he had to get more kids involved on the offense for Coach B. And it has worked for McKinley in many ways. There's it's so many teams that just don't focus on a guy. If you had to look at a team that focuses on a guy, it would be Louisville with Will Aljancic. And Ja'Cory over at Glen Oak is just one of the more solid players I've seen all year. But one of the more impressive kids I have watched a few times this year and watched his growth is Jared Taylor at Green. He's a kid that had to take on a role due to injuries to other players. Martin got injured during football. He's a 6'8 kid that they decided you're our point guard. And we watched him go through a tough stretch of games trying to adapt to playing the point in scoring and distributing and rebounding. And now he's a consistent 5 assists a game. He'll get you 7 to 10 rebounds. He'll get you 8 to 10 points. And he's a great catalyst for that Bulldog team. He's part of the engine that purrs just very nicely and keeps them on the level and keeps them doing things they need to do. But to really nail down a kid right now is very tough because with the competition level in the Fed, we've seen such diversity as far as kids on every team. Jackson comes to mind with Wolbert, but then you've got the sophomore Monterubio, who to me has just been dynamic this year. And you've got Fueline at guard. You've got Finnefrock. And we're starting to see Coach Hairston's kids develop more and stretch it out to two or three guys that consistently score in double figures. That's where it's tough to nail an individual this year. But the one kid that does come to mind is Kassenheiser out at Lake. He can score from anywhere, score against anybody. That's why he leads the county in scoring. If I were to hang a hat on two kids, it would probably be him, and it would probably be Will Aljancic in Louisville. That's just the way I look at it right now.
Dan, one of the reasons it may be so high to pinpoint any one player is because, like you said, in those last comments you just made, you mentioned three or four head coaches. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, without any, we don't have or single out one particular player. Of Canton, we don't have or single out one particular player. What about coaches? Who, in your opinion, maybe stands out as the best area basketball coach?
I think this year I would have to, in Starr County, give it to Rick Hairston and Tom Siegfried. I would give it to those two teams. They've done wonderful things with their kids. And you know Rick well.
Sure.
JT and Kenny, you too. They're starting to play that type of style for Rick that we saw Rick coach at Timken and we saw him coach at McKinley. Very aggressive defense. Transition defense is outstanding. They hit the boards for not being a big team. They do very well on the boards and minimizing opportunities for the other team. And Tom had some good kids back. But he also has sophomores in the starting lineup. He has sophomores coming off the bench, and he has made them a cohesive unit to get to where they are in their seeding and their regular season record, too. Those are my two guys. If you go outside the county, then you got to throw Mark Kinsley in there from Green. But my guys right there, one and two, and Mr. DeBevic, who you'll be talking to, is right up there with them and a close second behind the tie for first.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's amazing. Rick's team is so young, and yet here as you know, they're in the running for the Federal League Championship, and that's going to be a bright future over there. He knew what he was doing, getting back into coaching at the right time with the, you know, who they have coming through, you know, the pipeline there. But then you look at, you know, Siegfried at Louisville, right? I mean, they were what, Elite Eight or what was it last year, Bells? And they lost all the kids. Now here they are, district final or champs or whatever it was. And here they are in the running again to go far.
And you've watched kids develop over the years. Over that year, we've seen Will took his game to another level. Hayden Nigro took his game to another level. And you roll youth in with experience. I mean, Hayden Nigro's a junior. He'll be back. So he's got some nice nucleus of kids coming back up. His son, Bo, is playing very well. He's one of the better three-point shooters in terms of percentage in the county. He runs a nice offense. And he goes about four to sometimes five deep on the bench. So he's got a nice funnel of kids who have bought into his system. They play hard. You're always going to have good nights and bad nights. But, yeah, he's done really just an amazing job.
How about that? We got two coaches' sons, right? fuel line, point guard at Jackson. And Siegfried there with Louisville. No surprise that you know those kids are key components to what those teams are doing, and that they're two of the top teams in the county.
Without a doubt. And, you know, keep your eye on how Hoover just goes out and plays hard in the tournament. We talk about youth. I think he dresses, I forget how many he dresses, 15 maybe on the team. Nine of the 15 are either a sophomore or a junior. They're all coming back. And Coach Bluey coaches up as well as anybody in this county. He's a great teacher of the game. So in as much as we really got a nice campaign going on this year, we have a lot to look forward to next year. And I'm sure it's just going to be a bottleneck thing again in Stark County and in Federal League.
Yeah, and this Friday we've got Jackson at McKinley for you. It is the featured game of the week on WHBC Radio. Dan Belford, Denny Kincaid will call the action for you on that one, and we'll keep you posted when the tournament rolls around on where we will be for all the tournament games involving our Stark County teams. Bells, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks so much. Have a great call on Friday, all right?
Thanks, guys. Always appreciate it. Take care.
Dan Belford.